Salam and his followers, they felt that the ruler of the time, he did not fulfill the qualifications of the leader as they have been presented in Islamic doctrine. So let's look today at what are some of these qualifications. It can help enlighten us about this event in particular, and also the subject in general. It's interesting to note that in this connection, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in his letter to the inhabitants of Kufa, if you're well aware of the history of what transpired in Karbala, you are probably aware that the inhabitants of Kufa, they wrote a series of letters to the Imam, inviting him to lead to them. A series of letters was exchanged by both parties. In any case, in his letter to the inhabitants of Kufa, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in a part of that letter, he alludes to some of the qualifications of the Imam. He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, by my life, he swears by his life, an Imam is only one who rules by the book. Meaning, his judgments, they should follow the book of God. And as consequently, as a corollary to this, this person, he should have knowledge of these rules. It means he should have knowledge of the book of God, the Quran. The Imam is a maintainer of justice. He should be just and equitous and fair and bound to the right religion. He should be the follower of Islam. He should be the follower of Islam, and he should be a Muslim. And he also said, Imam Hussein also said, and controls himself for the sake of Allah. He should have, the ability to control himself, control his anger, control his passions, his lust, his desires, right, for the sake of Allah, when the time comes for him to rule and pass a judgment and something, right, he shouldn't allow his lower faculties to get the better of his intellect and his reason and to cloud his judgment and, make him, swerve from the path of equity and justice. And Imam Baqir alayhi salam, also in line with the same theme, he said, explaining the traits of an imam, he said, he must be of legitimate birth and well-bred. He neither gets distracted nor he plays. Meaning he shouldn't be somebody who who busies himself with vain things. Rather, he should be wise and he should be sagacious. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the conditions of the imamate and the leadership in the light of the hadith and the Quranic verses. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
The food and culture of the Persian Gulf. Part 2.
According to historical and archaeological findings, the Persian Gulf is the oldest sea in which shipping took place. The age of habitation on the shores of this sea goes back to 6,000 years AD. Until 1515 AD, foreigners did not set foot in the Persian Gulf with the intention of enmity and looting until during the period when Shah Ismail was busy unifying Iran. Alfonso de Albuquerque, a military commander and Portuguese explorer, attacked the coasts and islands in the Persian Gulf. At that time, Europeans traveled all over the world in search of spices and were not afraid of looting, killing, and occupying the lands of other nations. Spanish, Portuguese, the Dutch, and English sailors had gone to the seas to find new sources of spices. They occupied Hormuz, Jeran Port, and Gishm. These areas remained under the control of Portuguese forces for 110 years until the reign of Shah Abbas the Great. The remains of Portuguese castles in Gishm and Hormuz are relics of the 100 years of occupation of these areas. Bushehr is fantastic. The people of Bushehr are kind and admirable like other compatriots. We shall travel to the dear region under any excuse. We came here once again, and this time for fish. Early in the morning, next to the port, fishermen are working to go to the sea. Sometimes the shores are calm, and far from the shore it is stormy, and launches and boats get into trouble. In these cases, the port administration often prevents the fishermen from working on the sea. Some fishermen go to the sea for adventure and fishing and face a storm and unfortunately cannot return home. The captain is preparing everything on the launch to start the journey. Loading fresh water and supplies and pouring ice in the cold storage, refueling the loading gargars are the most important tasks. Gargur is one type of fishing equipment. Gargur is a basket of galvanized iron that was made from palm leaves in the old days. It is only used for trapping large fish. Baby fish and smaller fish pass through its holes. Fortunately, this method of fishing is still more or less common throughout the Persian Gulf. Animals that fall into this net do not die, so it is possible to return them to the sea. Fishermen put a branch of a date palm inside the gargur, which is called a panch, so that the squids that are caught will lay their eggs on it and the eggs will not be lost. Fishermen return the panks to the water when emptying gargur. This type of fishing is an honorable task because it does not harm the resources of the sea. Ice making is a very important and necessary facility next to the fishing port. Launches don't have cold storages, so they carry a large amount of ice and put it into the warehouse to bring the catch to the market. Hundreds of people work until the fish reaches the markets and arms. These people carry out difficult and dangerous tasks. We don't know these people, but we eat at homes as a result of their endeavors and hard work.
اقوام ایرانی قرن‌های متمادیه که در یک سرزمین، در یک خانه با هم دیگه زندگی می‌کنن.
Iranian tribes have been living together in the same land for many centuries. This ethnic diversity has naturally caused cultural diversity in Iran. Cultural diversity is one of the components of Iran's cultural power. There are different ethnic groups with different tastes, customs, and colors. All these ethnic groups share something called Iran. Perhaps since we gave up on nation building and started conquering the world with our own culture, it has had unique results because of this ethnic diversity. Maybe two or three other countries in the world have unique ethnic diversity like Iran. Ethnic and cultural diversity also causes food diversity.
خب این تنوع قومی و فرهنگی نتیجهش تنوع غذایی هم هست.
There are as many different foods in this land as there are on a continent. People show their taste in different forms of food. From the north of Khuzestan to Bushehr province, most of the people like Ghali Mahi. Right now, we are in the village of Barbu. We see that in all parts of this province, people cook Ghali Mahi with different types of fish depending on their
tastes.
Some people like it somewhat tangy, some like it spicy, and others like it sour. When we observe this area and the cooking, we come to realize that there are different types of cooking Ghali Mahi. I think that Ghali Mahi may be the southern model of Ghorme Sabzi or Khoresh Sabzi that is common in other Iranian cities. This ethnic cultural diversity has given us Iranians a special opportunity to see our own country and know the land. Of course, we cannot manage to visit all parts of our beloved country. Visiting different parts of Iran is similar to visiting a continent. If the subcontinent is used for India, in my opinion, Iran is also a subcontinent due to the diversity of culture and climate.
هند هستش به نظرم میادش که ایران هم یک شبه قاره است به علت حداقل تنوع فرهنگی که داره و تنوع اقلیمی که داره.
It must be said that according to the honorable chef's order, I grated so much garlic that I fainted due to a drop in blood pressure and could not attend the final sequence. Previous episodes, we observed the north and south seas of our beloved land a little, although we could not explain it completely. God willing, we will continue soon. God bless you and keep you safe always, and goodbye.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam, my dear. Allah, my Lord. His word, Quran. Muhammad, Prophet. Praise be upon.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم dear listeners, welcome back. This is Youth Station. I'm Asma
and I'm Bita, back again.
Yes, you're listening to IRIB English Radio, and there again we have another story to tell. So how are you doing, Bita?
It goes well, you know, as always. So, not bad.
Same old stories, yeah, exactly. Same dramas, and life goes on.
Yeah, ups and downs. And
yes.
That's okay. Yeah. How about you?
And let's pretend that life is a bitchy thing and we're enjoying it.
No, it's not.
Let's refresh. We can pretend at least.
Then we're going to make this episode again dark.
No, we just stand against that. So, sometimes things get so complicated in life in a way that it becomes so hard and difficult for us to cope up with things. And even sometimes we might lose our character.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to be your true self forever, right?
No, it's not. You know, I think all the people have gone through this process of losing yourself.
Yeah.
Now, there are times in life that you come to yourself and you don't know even who you are.
Yeah.
And these times are really scary and frightening. I wish I don't go through these.
You know, when you go through your life in retrospect and you come to analyze it, you go back to time when you were a child and then you get to think about the prime of your life. When was exactly the period in my life that I could call the prime of my life, the blooming age of my life? When I just come to think about all of these things, I could see pretty much clearly that there are some moments when I have gone so down, so down.
Anyway, but I think when you lose yourself, you lose the value of yourself. You lose how much precious you are.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so sad because you sometimes...
And by the way, sometimes it happens so unconsciously.
Exactly. And you come to yourself and you see that you hate yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And this is really, really dark.
And
I think we've experienced it.
Of course.
So many times in our lives that we hate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the root of all these things that happen is it's just low self-esteem sometimes.
Well, I could say there are many reasons, because sometimes the dramas that get in the middle of your life as an obstacle can turn you into this other person that you do not know.
But, you know, I think when you have a strong self-image, it's not going to be destroyed by all these happenings in our lives.
Okay, you're not going to get that a strong image when you are 11, when you're 15, when you're even 20. You know what I mean? I mean, you would
so
get
you have
that
to
self-esteem
have white
as
hair.
You get older.
You have to have white hair.
It's not
for
about
just
white hair.
So what?
And getting aged and old. No,
so
it's about maturity.
Story?
It's about getting to experience different episodes of your life and then turn into this mature person who's already grown up enough to understand the moral of each story.
Exactly.
That
so
there.
You can achieve this maturity in the age of 18. You know, I mean, there is no issue here.
Yes, you could, Bita, at any time. You could. And people are different, by the way.
Yeah, for
I'm just saying that it might not be the same for every single person in this world.
Not.
Some people would get that maturity when they are 7. Some
I don't believe in that. Who?
Maybe.
If this 7-year-old boy or girl did you see
Even
in your life that is mature.
Says that I am possible.
No, I don't believe in that sort of thing. We have impossibilities.
Yes, we believe. So.
No, we don't.
Okay, let's cut it before we get into a fight. I think we would talk about the reasons behind this more and more. And also how we could go through these values to gain them again or to improve them.
Exactly.
But before that, let's go for a short break, have some sip of water, and flying in the skies of greatness is not an easy thing. To be always the same composed person is not an easy thing to happen, to achieve. And we're just talking about these things. So this is after the break. You're listening to The Station. I'm Asma.
And I'm Bita here.
Yes, I have the pleasure to be with Bita in here. Okay, Bita.
Yeah.
How can I improve my a lowered self-esteem, my lowered personality, my...
You know, first of all, you mentioned something that we have to find a reason, the roots of whatever we are going through.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you are feeling that you're so down, you're so, I don't know, broken, so you hate
so
yourself,
damaged,
you know?
Yeah.
You have to find a reason, you have to find a roots of what is happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly these kind of things are really related to the things we've heard and we've gone through in our childhood. You know,
the traumas and all
exactly.
the things.
Exactly. These traumas and something like PTSD and so on has a strong effect on you. You cannot just...
What is PTSD?
PTSD is actually post-traumatic. This is a trauma that you're going to have when you go through an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And this accident will cause you to be afraid of something special, which is not scary.
Mm.
You know, and this is only especially
you're
going to
get
you.
Paranoid.
Yeah, somehow. And these traumas are really difficult to be healed because the key role of healing these kind of things is going through them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think that you hate yourself, you have to dig into this feeling of hatred.
I actually agree. You know, I do believe that things that happen in your childhood would never fade away pretty easily. And they would be there forever as you grow older.
Exactly.
And they would even get into an intense situation in which you might even be in need of a person who help you through that.
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest problem we have with these kind of experiences in childhood mm-hmm. is that we don't go through them. We don't dig them. We don't search them. You know, we just avoid them.
Yeah. So, you know, there comes a question into my mind. When are those moments in which we say that, okay, at this time I was really degrading myself?
You know.
The moments that happen. You know, sometimes, even if it does not happen to me, when I see someone bringing themselves down to other people to ask them for something very trivial, I would call that degrading myself. This would just look like a way that I am belittling myself for something so trivial, and I'm asking other people.
This is one of the things.
Yeah, one of the things.
My thing is avoiding. When I avoid my problems, I don't know, by sleeping too much. And there are ways that in your life you try to avoid stress, you try to avoid everything, you procrastinate everything. And these are the ways that will make me feel like I hate myself and somehow I have low self-esteem. You know, these times I go through everything to avoid the thing that I have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, in the short time, you feel like you're safe. It's a safe place and space for you. But in longer terms, you will feel like you are actually facing your fears and doubts in this safe zone.
Yeah, you know, to be in a state of always learning new things maybe would help you not to get into those situations.
Maybe.
Yeah, reading too many books and getting engaged and involved in the activities that might help you improve yourself, your personality, your perspective, the way you look at life and at people. I guess this is a good tactic to change yourself, to improve your character.
Exactly. And another tactic is talking to other people.
Yeah.
Like we're talking here, you know, in Youth Station, we're talking about different issues and it helps, you know, because when you're talking to someone, you may see some new aspects of a kind of thing that you've never seen in your life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you can dig better into your thoughts, into your memories and so on. And this is why I believe in therapy. There are some people who tell like, okay, you cannot solve everything by talking. But I think if it's standard talking, you can solve everything with it.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you agree with that or not.
Of course.
Talking is something.
Talking to someone who's worth talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course. When we say someone, we mean somebody who is either knowledgeable enough or is an expert.
Yeah.
Expert in the thing that we're going to ask them. So these things are very much effective.
But I think most of the time, expert people are not that much good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not the people who went through the same thing you did.
They just have to tell you the theories they have read.
Exactly.
They did not talk about the real...
fake.
Real life.
You know, I think you have to find someone you have a lot in common with and then talk to that people about your experiences and share them.
What if I cannot find that person?
Oh, nice question. You know, nowadays we have social medias. When you post something, there are a lot of people.
Nice question is the question of break.
Thank you.
There is this call for a break and we have to go for it, so stay tuned.
Hey, This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Talking, Youth Station here again. And we are talking here for you. We've talked about some ways and tactics to actually stop this feeling of low self-esteem and so on. And we were talking about finding someone who is precious to talk to.
You know, it's not just about low self-esteem. It's about the moment when I think if I do something or if I am doing something right now, it is belittling me. It is bringing me down in my personality, in my character. It is reducing of my value.
What if this is not a true feeling? I mean, this is something like...
I could say most of the time, since I'm a human being who has this much of feeling and the power to think, most of the times, as a result of intuitive sort of knowledge that we get, it is true.
So if you're mature enough that you can just recognize that most of the things that you feel is true, then you can find the way
thing
to solve
is,
it.
The thing is, when exactly are you going to get that you're
time.
In terrible?
I
Sometimes you don't get it unless you get into the very, very sad part of the story. See, you have a friend.
Yeah.
You feel like everything is so good. You feel like they are your soulmates. But the problem is... they actually are bringing you down. They are dragging you down to the level of these pitiable people.
So most of the time you don't feel it.
Yes, you don't feel it. And when you understand it, when you come to recognize it, most of the time, I don't want to say all the time. And even if it's very late, still you have this chance to change it all around.
I think we have always had the chance to change
exactly.
everything. It's not ever too
late.
But it's about the feeling that we have sometimes it's too late, you know. And this feeling is so strong that you cannot defeat it easily. I mean... when you feel like, no, it's too late for me to change everything.
I guess that's the last day of your life. When you think, okay, there is no hope for me. Because without hope, life is lost.
Maybe.
Yeah. I guess for sure. Because
without
hope, we cannot change anything without hope. If I do not have hope, I would never go for any sort of change in my life. If I did not have hope, I'd not have any motivation, any driving force to get me into tomorrow.
It's true, but this hope should come from something, come from a stronger source, you know what I mean?
Why you have to have a strong belief in your Lord.
Yeah.
And Allah is there to give you that hope.
And that love. That you need to go on. I think for going on, there are so many obstacles, so many obstacles that human being is not that strong to defeat all of them.
Let's just tell the gist of today's episode.
Yeah.
We were talking about the moment in life when we feel so weak, so not as strong, so reduced in our values. What should we do in those moments?
I think we actually introduced so many ways, but at the root of all these ways and tactics is a strong belief at last.
A strong belief, have hope, try to change it, go for more of knowledge, go through too much of books,
read things. You know?
Yeah. Meet new people even.
Exactly.
New good people that are good for your
mental
health.
Sometimes bad people, you know, it's not like telling me that, okay
bad
to
people
meet good
were
people.
For the phase when you were losing those values.
So
and
again,
right
you will meet bad people, but and this time you have a different tactic here.
Okay. And, so, yes, and
you know,
time
it depends.
Time is running so fast.
Unfortunately,
we're
running out of time again. So, but at last, I think this... hope and this strong belief are two keys.
I never think that it's too late.
Yeah.
It's never too late to change things in your life, to change yourself, to change your personality. And that's it. This was all for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Beloved, a new dear friend. But but I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio. For those who seek the truth.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah هو ذا الرحمن Allah هو ذا المنان
لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Ata, the host of this program. Shaykh Rouhani is the guest speaker for today's discussion. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Okay, Sheikh Rouhani. Is it possible, today's question is it possible for a rich person who has left his obligations like Salat and Saum or something like that to give money to the others to compensate for his missed actions in this world or not? For example, the rich person dies or he's not able, but because he's rich, he gives money to the other people to make it up for them. Is it possible?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, sometimes there is misconception or misunderstanding from some of the Islamic rituals and some of the Sharia laws, you know?
Yes.
One of them is this, for example, kind of compensatory prayers
yes.
that should be said and performed after the death of a person. Sometimes the people say that, okay, I'm poor, I'm rich,
yes.
I have money, I can, for example, rent or, for example, give money to someone to pray for me, and I myself am not in need of, for example, let's say, saying the prayers. This is totally false.
Yes.
This is totally wrong. Because salat and prayer is wajib, is obligatory for all the people.
Mm-hmm.
They have to perform it. You know, prayer or salah is something that should be performed. Even if you're so much sick, you're very much, for example, ill and sick, you're very much poor or rich, it makes no difference in which kind of condition you are. In whatever condition you are, you have to say your prayer.
Yes.
So prayer is obligatory, mandatory for all the people. They have to say their prayers. If it happens that sometimes they were not able or they mistakenly, for example, forgot to say the prayer, sometimes it happened for them.
Yes.
In those cases, in those exceptional cases in their lives that they could not perform their, for example, prayers, after their demise and death, their children, of course, they should, for example, perform the prayers for him or, for example, give money to someone to perform the prayers on behalf of him. But it doesn't mean that, for example, if a person is not Muslim, is so-called Muslim or pseudo-Muslim in a way that he does not perform any of the Islamic rituals in his life. And then after his death, someone give money to some other people, his children give money to some people to pray for him. There's no need to do that. If someone is Tariq al-Salat, that he does not perform in one single prayer in his life For this kind of people, it's not obligatory to give someone money on behalf of him to say the prayer for him. No, there's no need. This kind of compensatory prayer is only wajib and obligatory for a person who is Ahlus Salah.
Uh-huh.
Who performs Salah in his life, but sometimes it
not,
happens.
Not for a living person
or
something like that.
Yeah, for a living person, there's no need.
There is no way back.
No.
Okay. even Nuzurat or something like that.
Nothing will help
the
him.
The descendants of the people.
Nothing will help him. Because,
nothing will help.
Yeah, because he's Tariqus Salah. Tariqus Salah is different
from
the one who sometimes forget. You know, he has. If someone is Ahlus Salah, always saying the prayers, sometimes exceptionally it happened for him that he, for example, did not have chance to say the prayers or forget mistakenly. For this kind of people, we can have kind of compensatory kind of prayers after his death. But for those people who do not care about prayer in the whole life, no, for these kind of people, there's
so after a person who is not Tariqus Salat, when the people dies, so such compensatory actions are on the shoulder of whom? We can say Zukur child or something like that?
Yep. First of all, his son, his oldest son should perform.
Okay.
If he cannot, then of course the other children can help.
Okay.
For example, do that.
Yes.
If they cannot, for example, if they are not well qualified to that, to do that, then they can, for example, give money to someone who is well qualified.
Where does this come from? Giving money to someone to do it for you? Is it something new?
Yeah, it is. It is.
No, it has been in Islam.
Yeah, it is in Islamic Sharia. According to Islamic Sharia, we can do this. Yeah.
Okay. That's right.
It is only for some cases is forgotten, mistakenly, not deliberately, not willingly, you know. Sometimes, for example, you deliberately, let's say willingly, decisively decide not to say the prayers. So in this kind of cases, there's no compensatory prayers.
And how to understand and how to recognize what is the number of the raka'at of the namaz?
The person himself. The person himself should say that, okay, for example, this number of prayers.
So this must be written in the last will and testament?
Yeah, it should be expressed. It should be explained.
Okay.
If someone has no chance, you know, sometimes some people unfortunately die. Very unexpectedly, you know. In this kind of cases, yes, it is for the children. For example, say some prayers for him on behalf of him, for example, that it might have been happened. It might have happened for him that sometimes, for example, he had forgotten to say or to perform the prayers.
IRIB English Radio presents questions and answers on Islamic beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
What about the poor ones? I mean, somebody dies in poverty and there are some, for example, missed actions or there is no will and testament, nobody to do so. So what about those guys? I mean, does this poverty have any effect on the person?
So first of all, prayer is wajib for poor and rich. It makes no difference, okay? So both of them should perform their prayers. Yes. Both of them should perform fasting.
Yes.
Both of them should perform hajj if hajj becomes wajib on them. If, for example, it happened for them that they were not able, for example, to perform salah or sawm or hajj or these sort of things, then or did not pay, for example, zakat or khums sometimes, the children can do these kind of things for that person on condition that the person be a mu'min, you know, be someone who care about, for example, hajj, who care about khums, who care about zakat. But it happened for him that, for example, mistakenly or sometimes forgot or sometimes were not able to perform hajj, for example. He was sick, for example, sometimes. Or it happened. But generally, we should know that if there is a person and in whole his life he does not believe in God, he does not believe in these sort of things, he is just pseudo-Muslim or so-called Muslim, for this kind of people there's no need to perform anything as a compensatory kind of rituals after his death.
That's all right. There are some people who do nuzurat for the deceased ones in the other world. For example, they pour some food among the needy, or for example, they gather some hellings in the name of the commemorative sessions for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. They help the needy, they distribute food among the needy, they do charitable works. What about these actions and these deeds? Does it have any effect on the, for example, the future of the deceased person in the other world or not?
So if...
Sorry. For example, the deceased person is my father. He was also Tarikus Salat, okay? I do such charitable works in order to have some effects on his future. Does it have any effect?
I don't think so. You know, because in the narrations and the hadiths, it says that someone who does not perform the prayer, no other a'mal from that person will be accepted, let alone the other nuzurat or those kind of things that the children or the other people do for that person.
What about if a person is a good person? So now these nuzurat will have such effect.
For example,
my nuzurat for the other guy,
does it have any effect? Because you do it on behalf of that person.
No, on behalf of yourself. For example, they say, in remembrance of my father and my deceased mother, I do this and I do that.
They will have, yes. They will have some good kind of blessings and rewards for those people. For example, if you make dua for them.
Sending salawat.
If you give some nadhar.
Yes.
Or sometimes sadaqat, sometimes, for example. These sort of things, of course, they will have the effect.
That's right. Okay. But according to your sayings, it's better for the person, we can say, to do all his obligations and obligatory actions in this world by himself, isn't it?
It's better, of course.
So what about the young ages? For example, a person reaches this, the age of bulugh or maturity, and usually at the early years of reaching puberty and maturity, the people are forgetful about their actions. Are they also accounted, for example, in the missed actions or not?
Yes, of course. When you reach the age of puberty, then wajibat,
yes,
things that are obligatory, that you have to perform that, you know. There's no any excuse, any justification for not performing those obligatory kind of actions and performance of Islam, you know. That is why it is better, it is the responsibility of the parents to tell, or let's say to guide the children, particularly in their youth,
yes,
to perform all these things. And it is more and more valuable, more precious to perform, for example, prayer in the, when you're young. Because at the end of the life, when we become old, we have nothing to do. We have nothing else to do. That's why we might go to the masjid to say the prayers. You know, of course, that is also good that you have to perform prayers always. But if you do it and when we are young, that is why it's more precious, it's more valuable. And Farsi, there's a very nice poem says that در جوانی پاک بودن شیوه پیغمبری است.
Yes.
ورنه هر گبری به پیری می شود پریزگار.
Yes.
Says that if you are young, you must be pious. That is more precious. That is more valuable.
That's right.
Otherwise, when you old become ages, old, yeah,
all the people become pious.
The elderly, everyone become pious. Yeah.
That's right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information on this episode of the program, Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs, and our previous episodes, visit our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. The another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. Li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من
إلا بان علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Listeners Special. In the name of God, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, July 23rd, 2023. I'm Atefa Irfani, hosting this program today. And on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, I extend my deepest condolences to you on the arrival of the month of Muharram, the month of the martyrdom of the master of martyrs, Imam Hussein, peace upon him. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As I always say, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. This is Listeners Special, and here, as usual, we've received reception reports from you from around the world, from Ivan Zeleny from Russia, from Arto Toisi from Finland, and again from Finland, from Johannes Lamy. So, Ivan, Arto, and Johannes, thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio, and you have sent us piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. Johannes Lamy from Finland has sent us a piece of email. Toshio Shibata from Japan has sent us an email. Ratan Kumar Paul, one of our old and regular listeners from India, has sent us a message, and from Canada we've received an email from Alan Willey, one of our regular listeners, and Siddhartha Bhattacharji from India has sent us a piece of email. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Thank you. So let's see what Siddhartha Bhattacharji, one of our old and regular listeners from India, says. Siddhartha says, "Dear staff, here I submit audio file of your broadcast. Hope it will be a great help for you and your technicians. Kindly send me your program schedule, sticker stamps, and other promotional material, which is available in order to pre-represent your radio here in India. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Siddhartha Bhattacharji from India, we are so grateful to you for this message. The audio file has been received and, of course, appreciated. It was a great help to us, and such things, as you may know, helps us improve the quality of our programs. Siddhartha Bhattacharji from India, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs, and please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to your email. From Japan, we've received an email from Toshio Shibata, one of our regular listeners. Toshio says, "Dear staff, I received IRIB broadcast of medium wave here in Japan. On SW, there are not many transmitter sites in each country, but in MW, there are many. Thanks again for being in touch with me. Best regards. Salam from Tehran, the capital of the beautiful Iran." Toshio Shibata from Japan, thank you very much for sending this email to IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special Program. Let me inform you that you will be receiving an electronic QSL or EQSL from IRIB English Radio as confirmation to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. After a short break, dear listeners, I will be back with you. Welcome back. It's Listeners Special, and let's see what our listener from Finland says. Johannes Lummi says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, I hope you are doing well. I'm Johannes Lummi. I am 17 year old and I live in Finland. Last time I wrote to you some week ago, I hope the letter has reached you. I have enclosed the postcard to my letter. The postcard shows the Tower of Olympic Stadium in our capital, Helsinki. I would love to receive a confirmation card from you. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, and I do thank you for this message, Johannes Lummi from Finland. We also hope that you are doing well. We received the postcard with the picture of Olympic Stadium in the capital, Helsinki, and it was beautiful. Thank you for it. Please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as confirmation to this email, Johannes, and write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. Thank you, Johannes Lummi from Finland. And from India, we have an email from Ratan Kumar Paul, one of our old and regular listeners. Ratan says, "Greetings from India. Please verify my reception with your QSL card and send some postal stamps of Iran and other countries. Stamps collection is my second hobby. I am a regular listener of your radio. Thanks for this nice and informative program. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Ratan Kumar Paul from India, and thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special. It's good to hear that you like this program and you find it nice and informative. Anyway, as soon as we could be able to send you and all our listeners the materials like the promotional items and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio, we will soon do it. At the time being, please accept our EQSL as confirmation to your email. Thank you, Ratan Kumar Paul from India. And after a short break, I will be back with you. ¶¶ regular listener, Alan Willie from Canada, has sent us a piece of email. Alan says, "Dear staff, once again, greetings from Newfoundland, Canada. I have sent you few reception reports of IRIB shortwave broadcast as monitored here in Canada. Hope they will be verified from your side. Good wishes and thank you for the hard work. Salam and greetings to you, Alan Willie from Canada. And I do appreciate you for sending this message to IRIB English Radio and listeners' special program. Our appreciations to you also for the reception reports, Alan. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon and hearing your views about our broadcast." Dear listeners, again, I do extend my deepest condolences to you on the arrival of the month of Muharram, the month of the martyrdom of the Master of Martyrs, Imam Hussein, peace upon him. But before saying goodbye to you, I do send my warm greetings and appreciations to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters and messages from around the world, including Ivan Zeleny from Russia, Arto Toisi from Finland, Johannes Lamy from Finland, Siddhartha Bhattacharji from India, Toshio Shibata from Japan, Ratan Kumar Pol from India, and Alan Willie from Canada. Please keep in touch with us, with IRIB English Radio and with the program Listeners Special. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن می کند.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.